253-0074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the fifth Tuesday special event and the sponsors roundtable starring Mr. Jim Heighton from Ridenour, Heighton and Lewis, a great law firm, and Mitchell Spain from Bierbaum and Spain, great CPA.
And Dave Isaac from all sorts of different companies.
Yes, that's right. All over the world.
From Dave Isaac PC. Yeah. And
Designing Success Inside. And what other one?
Breakthrough Thinking.
Well, that's part of the Designing Success Inside, but that is the radio show, Breakthrough Sports. We can go on and on.
He may be one of the last great conglomerates in this country.
That's right. That's a good point. And we expanded during every time everyone was, how do you say, disbanded? That's not the right word.
Expanding. Contracting?
That's the right word. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit more about an interesting topic about estate and gift tax lifetime exemption amounts, which are scheduled to expire at the end of this year. And we don't even know what do we do.
This is the second year, is it not, that they increased it? They increased it when they extended the Bush tax cuts.
That's correct. Yeah, and then they indexed it for inflation, so we got a little bit of a bump there too.
Mm. Right. And the point here, when you're looking at the gift tax, there are a couple different things. When people ask you about being able to give gifts, currently you've got the annual exemption, which is the $13,000 that you can give. And now they have the lifetime exemption, which in the past has been $1 million.
Right.
And they bumped it last year to $5 million, and then this year it's what, 5.14?
Yes,
million.
Yes, correct.
Wow, 5.14.
But Mitch, what happens on January 1, 2013 to that?
We'll see.
But that's the
you
problem.
And I. Nobody knows, and I, even if you ask Congress, they're going to have no clue until probably December 28th or something like that. Because my guess is it's going to go to that length before something happens, if it's going to happen.
Right.
And if nothing happens, then we go back to 2001.
Yeah, about $1 million annual lifetime exemption.
So if you were a betting man, Jim, what do you think will happen? I guess it depends who's in office too, maybe? The election would be November, so they won't be in office till January.
That's right.
Oh, so this is a real tough thing, right, for attorneys and CPAs to plan.
Sure. No. I mean, if you thought it was going to go down to $1 million in 2013, you'd be telling people that have lots of wealth, now's the time to give it to your kids and use that $5 million.
Right. Get it grandfathered in and take advantage of it. I mean, one of the areas that I have been promoting as far as this is concerned is the 529 plans. Because the 529 plans, you generally can put, depending on what state it is, you could put $250,000 into it all at once. And in the past, what they've done is they've said you don't have to worry about that next five annual exemptions. So they've allowed you a certain amount not be included in anything, any taxable estate. But now if you've got now not only can you put that $65 million or whatever it happens to be, into the plan without having to worry about it, you can do the full amount. You can fully contribute the amounts into the 529 plan and use this exemption, the lifetime exemption, along with some of the other things that you can move out. And so I think it's a great tool for people to use to be able to work with take advantage of what's out there.
Now, when you say 529 for the listeners, what do you mean?
That's an education funding device that allows you to pay for tuition and the books and et cetera that you need when you're going to college.
So either your kids or yourself, I suspect.
I think But
I'm a good interviewer. What can I say? Yeah.
But it's you've got the trustee who can be yourself, and then you've got the students who are the beneficiaries, and the beneficiaries are easily transferred. It can be transferred, but you can start out. One of the things about the 529 plans that I think is really interesting, if you know, you can actually start something for a child, a grandchild, or even before they're born. Because you can set yourself up as the beneficiary, and once they're born, now you can change the beneficiary to them.
Oh.
And you've already got a head start on funding for college.
Oh, that's cool, right?
Yeah, and frankly, it sure seems like that's a good, you know, tool for a lot of parents. I mean, I'm always staggered when one of my younger partners that has you know, children in college is telling me what it costs. It's right now it's an incredible amount of money. I mean, I wonder what it's going to be in 15 years. I mean, boy, start saving now. That's a good idea.
Absolutely. And like I said, taking advantage of the fact that the beneficiaries are so easily changed just gives you that little extra bump in time that allows you to put more away. But right now, for those high wealthy individuals, they can take advantage of this other aspect, you know, to fund that. And they're, you know, it's, and that's only one of the things that they can do as far as getting it out of the estate. You know, they're, you know, from a legal standpoint, I'm sure there's a lot of other things that you suggest as far as moving it to the beneficiaries.
Sure, there's a lot of different ways of doing it, but as they say with this, the difference between $1 million and $5 million is a giant, and that's per person. So if you have a husband and wife, you're talking about between the two of them $10 million that they gift to children. And so especially if you have somebody that's, you know, got a lot of land or something like that you know, they want to try and get it out of their estate. I mean, boy, if you wait until it goes down to a million, I mean— you've really lost an opportunity.
So what you're really saying is, I mean, it's great to have to stay close to your CPA and attorney and have this monitored and to really be aware. And but again, do you have any opinion? I mean, what do you think's going to happen at then? I mean, I know that's tough, though. I mean, you just don't know. That it's the political climate.
That's the whole thing. It's the political climate. Who wins, who loses, you know, how much money do we need to run the government? I mean, there's a lot of things. I probably like Mitch, I get all these newsletters, and you hear all the pundits saying, well, we think this will happen or that will happen.
Yeah.
You know, probably the one I will say that I have – kind of the most interest in that could well be the compromise that I hear is that it could well be that they'll go and they'll stay with the $5 million amount to, you know, for a lifetime gift and estate tax exempt amount, but they might repeal carryover basis and say you're going to take, you know, or they're stepped up basis, and they'll go to carryover basis.
Oh.
So that would be a compromise that both sides of the aisle might decide they could live with.
Okay.
So
that's interesting. So rather than step up the basis at the date of death,
right,
to fair market value, right?
Right.
It would carry it over what the basis is at that particular time.
Right.
And, which would create a greater gain on sale,
right?
Is
so
what you're saying. So it would, but you'd have a little more cushion at $5 million to absorb maybe some gains,
right? Right.
Wow, Mitch, how am I doing as a CPA here? That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You're doing great as an interviewer as well.
Yes. Wow. So it's a lot of stuff to monitor, and it's so crazy out there. Yeah, it's really hard to say. So, but those that's why I believe. And I've said this so many times, you need a great attorney. You need a great CPA. And I think the third thing, you need a great coach.
And I think a financial planner.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Because as far as I'm concerned,
no, that'd be the fourth thing. I named three, so that'd be four.
Yeah.
Well, I'm adding, for me, I think it's four. You can stick with three if you'd like.
That's right.
Good point. And we're going to have a debate.
Right, right.
I like my 999 plan.
Right.
What is that plan? I never knew. Herman Cain said he had a
999
plan. Something about a flat tax. Let me. We got a couple minutes before the next break. Do you think there will ever be a flat tax?
I just can't imagine how you get that through the politics of the situation. I mean, can you imagine if you, like, for example, when they talk about repealing the mortgage interest tax rate? I mean, it's a deduction. Yeah. You'd have a march on Washington by to a million realtors.
And it would start with the senators and representatives.
Yeah, right.
Because they all have houses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Multiple houses. And if you're...
Well, they can only take two.
Yeah. And <You know? laughs> well, what do you think, Mitch?
At least
think,
as far as personal.
Do you think they ever get a flat tax?
No, I really don't. Yeah. I think we're still stuck with the Internal Revenue Code, or as I like to call it, the Accountant's Guide to Full Employment.
Right.
You know?
I agree. I
don't think that goes too far to say that the attorneys would take advantage. It also applies to attorneys.
That's correct.
Because some of these exemptions, right? I mean, they're put in by, you know, they're promoted by lobbyists and it's special interest groups. And that's why we have such a, don't you think, a convoluted and complex code?
Oh, no question.
It's craziness, right?
You know, it's, yeah.
So a flat, I mean, Reagan tried to do a flat tax, and actually it ended up being pretty complicated, right? With the passive loss rules. What was that, 86?
He
tried to do that, and he really made it tough on real estate, and then they finally made it a little bit looser.
I'm sure there are some real estate people that still haven't forgiven him.
that was tough. I mean, but he tried to really do an overhaul, but they all say it, but, right, most of them say it. Even Ron Paul was saying, what percentage? And they went through the, you know, each candidate, and I think Newt said 15%, and of course Romney said, you know, 15 because that's what he pays.
Right.
But okay.
No, you don't. You really don't need, when it's flat tax. It becomes much easier to handle because.
Well, yeah.
You
income
can probably
times
do
a percentage, right?
Right.
And you withhold it. You send it in, and there's no. You're not even going to have to do a tax return. It's probably a postcard.
But guess what Ron Paul said? Let's see who wants to guess this. What percentage should he use?
No, well, I don't know.
Zero. So he did. It was so funny.
Oh, geez.
The commentator said, well, how do you pay for things? But I don't know. But
a value-added tax.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You think that would ever happen? Like a national sales tax?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's...
Well, you asked how it would be if you don't have income tax. That's your other choice.
Yeah. You're probably right, right?
But it's based on purchases instead of on income.
But you hear them talk about doing that, you know, in addition to the income
tax.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
Which really scares you to
that's
death.
A lot of tax action.
Yeah. I mean, well, we'll be employed forever if that goes in.
So. Thank God for Walmart. We can all work there. Right? That's why they're there, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. But anyway, when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Jim Hyten and Mitchell Spean. And this will be your last segment, Jim. So we'll talk more some tax and legal. And then from 3:30 to 4, Mitch and I will talk sports. I don't know what we'll talk about. We'll be right back.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7-steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Words to the song.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the fifth Tuesday special event. All I could say is I hope it's Tuesday. It is Tuesday. Remember Tuesday Weld? She was an actress?
Yes, I do.
I don't know why I brought that up, because Tuesday. And let's see. And this is the sponsors roundtable. We have Jim Hyten, a great attorney from Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis, and Mitchell Spean, a great CPA, one of the two best CPAs I absolutely know, and from Verbon and Spean. And we've been talking about really the uncertainty of what's going to happen with some of these tax things. And in fact, let's bring up the expiration of the lower federal income tax rates for higher income earners at the end of this year. So we don't know that either, right?
No, we don't. I mean, they might extend them. They might not. I mean, the president has said he is definitely against extending them, and he wants them to expire.
Oh.
So, you know, for higher income earners, the question becomes, you know, what do you do? Do you accelerate some income into this year to take advantage of the lower rates? Or do you wait to see if maybe things change in the election and they expand them? I tend to, you know, I think Mitch has the best idea, is that, you know, you go with what you know right now. Nobody can predict politics or the future. So.
The only way you can go is based on what is out there now. And at this point, they're expiring.
You know, there's a saying, all is fair in love and war. You've heard of that?
Right.
And Jim and Mitch, you might remember. I can't remember exactly what decade it was in, but that makes us seem old. But like the 80s, I think, where they actually, or maybe the 90s, they actually had retroactive tax provisions where they passed it like in September, but some of it was retroactive to the beginning of the year after you've made decisions. How fair is that?
That's
hard. Remember some of that?
Yeah. No, it's terrible to plan. Remember they had, when that was going on, I remember, too, that they talked about doing some kind of blended rate thing to try and make it work, and all kinds of crazy things that you'd never think would happen in the tax code.
Yeah, let's just make the tax returns harder, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope that the people who do the computer programs are real, real smart. The one thing about that is, even if they are really smart, you still have to know what to expect when you're looking at the tax return. You can't rely on the program to be right.
You know, that's a very good point. You know, actually, that let's talk a little bit about that, because, you know, TurboTax, there's some tax programs, I think H&R Block, not that I'm promoting anyone out there. But
you can go to the IRS website, and they'll get you to a list of programs that'll do free tax returns.
But what people don't understand, I think, is that it's sort of the old saying with computers, garbage in, garbage out. It's not I think it's really hard just to do a non-tax person, someone that's not familiar, to even do a simple tax return. I mean, I guess it could be done with a 1040 Easy or whatever. But still, I think the average person that tries TurboTax, I think it's really difficult conceptually to understand what you're doing. Does it make sense? I mean, mechanically, I don't think you can do something like that mechanically.
Well, what I always recommend, if somebody wants to do that, I have no problem with them doing it, because generally it's not the type of thing that I want to spend a lot of time on myself, because it's just not, there's the value to them isn't there for it. But what I'll say is, if you go through the steps, and then if you want me to take 5 minutes and look at it and see if it makes sense, you know, that makes sense to me. Then I can point out a couple things and you can tweak it yourself. You know, and basically, if, you know, when you go to these free ones. It's really for the basic 1040 Easy, the 1040A. It's not for those that have are going to itemize or do anything like that. It's going to be the very simple basic. You've got a W-2 and you need to do a tax return. Those are the ones that need to use that kind of program.
Yeah, although these programs are capable of having all sorts of things itemized, you know, deductions as well as, you know, businesses, rental property, right. K-1s, that type of stuff.
But it's usually not a defense to say, well, the program didn't do
it right. Exactly.
Unless you're the Secretary of the Treasury. Remember, he blamed TurboTax for making a mistake?
That was weird, wasn't it?
And it was like, oh, okay, well, if you're Secretary of the Treasury, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, that was very weird, wasn't it?
That was pretty weird.
It's hard to believe sometimes. But yeah, so just a caution to people out there, just because it, you know, I'm sure it's a pretty decent program, but that's not what it takes. Even with QuickBooks Accounting, you know, just great programs out there, great accounting programs, and QuickBooks is one of them. But, you know, if you don't know conceptually, you know, you're just mechanically entering things, and that's not going to happen. No,
and it's the same thing that we talked about at the beginning of the show when we were talking about the fact that you've got to understand the steps, you've got to understand the process, you've got to understand what you expect to get out of it. And it's not just the numbers, it's any process that you put into your business.
Very, very true. Now, Jim, you brought up an excellent point on the break. You know, they were talking about maybe perhaps doing away with the mortgage interest deduction. You know, there's talk like that in charitable contributions. And there's a psychological aspect to that. Let's talk a little bit about that because I think that's important to understand.
Well, I've been interested in just observing, you know, when these things hit the news media and when somebody in Congress or a committee or somebody says, you know, maybe it's time to, you know, reduce or eliminate like the mortgage interest deduction on the tax return. And I've talked to people who really get upset about that because they look at it and they say, well, that's, you know, if I lose that, how do I afford my house?
Exactly.
And you know, and I can't imagine that the real estate industry is very happy about that with where things are right now. They're probably thinking anything to help us as opposed to hurt us.
Yeah.
And I think there is a psychological part. It upsets people to think they might lose something they've had for years, even like a charitable deduction that people take. And as they say, I think, you know, we see a lot of that of where, you know, that you see it in the media and then suddenly, you know, people just get upset because they think they're going to lose something.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, and I think when you hear things like that, even for charities, I mean, I bet it could slow up contributions just from that standpoint alone, even though maybe if the lower, you know, you have much lower rates and overall you're paying less. A lot of people don't understand that if you take away deductions, they think you're going to pay more. And
right,
like you said, right. So, which, you know, hopefully wouldn't be the case if they did something like that. But you're right, it could impact charities, don't you think?
Sure, sure. I got to imagine the charities have to be looking at that and saying, what's that going to do to us if they do away with that deduction? So I think there is a psychological part to that. And, you know, one of the things that I think tax policy relies upon is continuity, stability, and I think good tax policy has those. But when you start, you know, saying, well, we're going to throw it all out the window and start from scratch, I mean, people do get worried about that.
Yeah, I think there's no question about that. So it's very important. I've always heard during the years that tax law partly is the government's way of shaping or trying to create behaviors,
right.
You know, and, well, like with joint returns and the marriage penalty and all that type of stuff. So it's sort of a way of shaping behaviors and dictating social policy too.
To a certain extent, although it's interesting, is like you try and take something like the alternative minimum tax and explain any kind of policy or anything regarding that, or even the tax itself to people is pretty tough.
Very tough.
I still haven't figured a good way of explaining it.
Yeah, like, well, you can, you know, save money here, but you'll start paying more on the back end.
Right.
You know? It's like two different tax systems almost.
Almost, yeah.
AMT, alternative minimum tax. I have more and more clients hitting that. Do you see that too?
Yeah. How about you, Mitch?
Well, absolutely.
It's a crazy thing. It's just so complex. I would be one of the few CPAs. Mitch isn't going to like this. to vote for a straight flat tax. Do away with it. It's too complex. What do you guys say? Are you shocked that I'm saying this, Mitch, as a CPA?
No, I'm not.
Really?
No, because there's...
I'm shocked that you're not shocked. It's shocking.
No, well, you see, but I understand that there's so many other things that we can provide.
Oh, yeah. That have really great value.
That create the value for the clients that even if they went to the flat tax, which I don't see happening, it's not going to keep us from being able to get other things accomplished.
Yeah, I agree. And, tax is, well... We'll see. I guess we'll see what happens because a lot of people are pushing it, but I think you both are right. It's just not going to happen in our lifetime or 27 more lifetimes.
Yeah, right.
I just don't think it will. So Jim, let's give out some contact information on you. I know you have to leave in about a minute, and how do people get in touch with you?
Well, the best way is to call the law firm. Our main number is 602-254-9900. That's the best way of getting a hold of us, and they get me through the switchboard. And we do have email addresses and what have you, but I'm a little bit old-fashioned. I like to talk to people.
Yeah, and so which is nice.
Call me, and that's the best way to get a hold of me through the switchboard.
So that's 602-254-9900, right?
9900. Right.
Wow. Yes. And not only they can talk to you, they can really hear what I'm talking about with Carol, the receptionist.
They will talk to the famous Carol. That's right.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Jim, I appreciate you being here today. This is so great. We'll have to do this again because this is great information. Keep people current. And you can hear it really. You're going to hear. We don't have a political agenda here, so we're going to tell it like it is.
Right. Well, I really enjoy this. I mean, you two guys are really good at what you do. I just enjoyed it. If we didn't do it on the radio, I'd probably call you and say, let's just get together for lunch and talk about it. You
know, that'd be fun.
Because it is a really interesting time to sit and talk to you about these things.
Well, I appreciate that. We're going to have you on again with the sponsor at Roundtable. And keep everyone up to date. Everyone wants to know. There's a lot of uncertainty, especially with all the commotion going on with at this point with the Republican primaries. Everyone's going after each other. People want some certainty in their lives, and we'll provide that for them as we go on. So, Jim, thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
We'll see you next time, and when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Mitch, I call him. Now it'll be the Mr. Mitch Show. We'll figure out what to talk about. If not, we will sing and maybe have our producer talk a little bit about his favorite topic, which is sports, and we'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
To the 29th.